Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
All right, boys, welcome back to the show. Neil, how's it going this week, man? I haven't heard from you in a while.
You know, it's going okay. Still figuring out jobs and school and all that kind of stuff.
No worries.
But I actually have new media to talk about. Have you guys seen the Fallout TV show from Amazon?
Yes. No, but I hear it's good.
Yeah, I watched the first season. Oh, sorry, good.
Right. Oh, I was just going to say I loved it and I own it. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I finally watched the first season. Like, I was like, why haven't I watched this yet? second season's coming out soon. It's got some tonal issues, I think. Good. You can have your thoughts there. But overall, really enjoyed it. Looking forward to where it goes with season two. Sam, you should watch it just because Kyle MacLachlan gets his face punched in the first episode. So,
yeah,
you know how much you love him.
Definitely worth watching for him. Yeah.
And Neil, were you a big like Fallout fan before watching the show?
I really enjoyed New Vegas, and I thought 3 was okay, and then 4 was really disappointing. Because it's not a role playing game anymore, but I can't claim to have played 1 and 2, so you know, huge fan probably. Right. Not, but, apparently they're remaking. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, in fairness, I don't think that many people who have played 1 and 2. Those are pretty old school.
Yeah.
But apparently anyway, they're remaking 1 in. I think they're going to remake 1 in the Fallout 4 engine. So that'll
that would be really cool. I've seen some of those old.
That's crazy.
And I think that studio, correct me if I'm wrong, Gideon, but isn't Obsidian descended from the original Fallout studio?
From Black Isle, I think. Isle. Some of them. That's a really good question. I want to say at least some of them maybe founded it, but I could be wrong.
Okay, because it's like one of those situations where it's kind of hard to track the lineage of everybody who worked on those Fallout games, but I think there's some shared DNA between Obsidian and the original Fallout developers.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. All I've ever played is 3, and I always play like the first 3 hours of New Vegas, and then I bounce off.
Oh, okay.
So someday. Definitely get back to it.
I played 3 like a lot. It's so funny. I played like so much of 3, but I literally did everything except like the main quest, Point Lookout, and the like main quest DLC. I literally did like almost everything else, but didn't do that because I wanted to be like super overpowered, and then I just like never finished it. And then I did play a shit ton of New Vegas, but I'm not like one of those people. Same with like Skyrim and that stuff. And never like some people are like, oh, I'm starting up my 11th playthrough. It's like I played those games kind of like one big save
mm-hmm.
around when they came out. Like I really would like to go back to them. I just haven't. And then I did play a shit ton of Fallout 4, and I feel like I was a little higher on it than some people because I watched my older brother play a shit ton of Fallout. So this was like the first one. And I didn't play one or two either, but this was like the first one that I got to fully experience like on my own. And I played right. like 15 hours the first day, I swear.
That was also my experience with Fallout, where like, so I was on PS3 in those days didn't have access to PCs, and the PS3 versions of all those Bethesda games were like totally botched. So I actually platinumed Fallout 3 on PS3 and did all the DLC, and Operation Anchorage, I swear to God, ran at 12 frames a second on PS3, and I still muscled through.
Oh, God.
And I still did. It was awesome. Like, I loved that game so much. I remember sitting down with my first iPad and like having the trophy guide open and just checking things off the list and just having a great time. I never got into New Vegas. And then I played, actually, Neil and I were living together when Fallout 4 came out. And mm-hmm. I think I like it more than Neil, but I can understand what people's gripes with it were, and I think the building bases thing is not particularly good.
Yeah.
Look, Sam, another settlement needs your help.
Yeah.
No, I honestly like gameplay wise, I think Fallout 4 is fine. It's just that it's not a role playing game anymore, and that that's what really bummed me out.
The voice protagonist wears on me so much.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly kind of love the companions and feel like they're kind of the undersung heroes of that game. And I love the Sin stuff. I love the Sin, because the Sin stuff felt like a payoff from stuff in 3, which was nice. But and then I love how they did power armor. That was like my favorite thing about 4.
I like that, like, you can have the power armor, but I thought them giving it to you in the first mission was a little bit like, okay, where do you want me to go from here? I already have the power armor. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I did think it was cool in New Vegas how you can unlock the gun that's called that gun, and it's just Deckard's gun from Blade Runner. That was like awesome. The sickest little nod ever in that game. Anyway, this is not a Fallout podcast. What the fuck are we doing? Gideon, how's your weekend going, man?
Oh, pretty good, man. You know, I haven't been doing too much. I've just been doing a bunch of random chores. I don't think I've watched any movies. I have been slowly watching that Alien Earth show. It's a bit of a good and bad, where sometimes I think the characters have like, it's weird because like I feel like sometimes the characters are just like really dumb, but I guess mild spoiler for the show, some of the characters are like children minds in like adult android bodies, so it's like there's give and take with that. But the alien looks great. It's properly scary. A lot of the sets and stuff look really cool. So I'm having fun with that, you know. Other than that, yeah, I don't think I'm doing too much. I haven't watched too much.
Okay, awesome. You've just been grinding the Fortnite Battle Pass? And
yeah, a little bit of that. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, awesome. That's good. Let's see what I've been up to. I've had gigs the last 4 weekends, and like I was telling you guys in the chat, gigs aren't like, you know, you show up for 45 minutes and you go home. It's like takes up my entire evening because I gotta get there, I gotta like set up, load in, and then it's like a 4-hour, so like 3 hour-long sets with 15-minute breaks in between. So then you unpack and you go home. It's like a 6-hour ordeal. So just that's been eating up my weekends. And I've got one more on Saturday, and then I'm free for a while, which would be nice. It has been new game palooza around here. Gears of War Reloaded just came out this week, so I've been doing that. Metal Gear Solid 3 just got its remake released last night, so I'm going to be doing that after the podcast. I'm almost done with Claire Expedition 33, which I still maintain is not as good as everybody says it is, but it's, you know, it's good. It's just not like Reddit would have you believe that this is the game of the century, and I just don't see that at this point, but, you know, we'll see. And then watching Let's see. I finished up the King of the Hill reboot, the new season of King of the Hill, nice. Which I think was really, really good. I was really happy with it.
Nice.
And then I watched Small Soldiers, which is the movie we're going to be talking about today, to do a pretty good decent transition. Yeah, thank you. So, Neil, why did you want to bring Small Soldiers, of all movies?
So Small Soldiers has this, like, place in my brain where, before we get too deep into it, like, part of the, like, theme of the movie is, like, children don't necessarily need violent toys. You know, there's, like, educational and, like, adventure that you can have that's not violent after we're done talking about Fallout. But, like, even as a kid, I realized this, like, weird hypocrisy where I remember seeing the movie, and then there were the inevitable, toy, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, the movie tie-ins, where you could buy the toys from the movie. Mm. And it was literally, and I remember the ad, like, it's still burned into my brain. They showed all the toys fighting each other, and then ends with the tagline of, like, a chorus of guys yelling, "Small soldiers, big battle." And I even as a kid, I was like, this doesn't seem right. But I remember having some of these toys even. And so it's always just like, it's burned into my brain, like that particular thing. And then a few scenes from the movie are just like super memorable for me. Mm-hmm. And then it happened to come up as like a, you enjoyed this, why don't you watch this? And I was like, oh, well, hey there. Let's bring this to the podcast.
Mm. Very nice.
So had you seen the movie though between now and this viewing in your childhood?
Not to my knowledge. Like, maybe there was some sort of, like, you know, staying in a hotel and, you know, you've been 45 minutes in, but this was the first time I've watched it in any like serious way since I was like six or whatever.
Okay. Gideon, tell me your history with it, because I've got a strange but good history with this movie, so I'd be curious to hear yours first.
So I do have a history with this movie. This was a very mythical movie to me, because I remember discovering it from, like, these neighbor kids I would hang out with growing up. And obviously, as you know, Sam, I love Toy Story, and I would always play that one. We should get to that at some point. And this came out, what, 3 years after Toy Story, I think? Toy Story is 95, this is 98. And so I just heard it was another, like, crazy Toys to Life movie, but it was, like, action-packed and it had this badass soldiers. And so we, like, borrowed the VHS from them or whatever, and I just remember we must have watched it, like, a lot, because a lot of the scenes, like, really stick out in my head when I think about it. A different thing was with, like, the music or certain lines. So I remember watching it a lot, but I don't think we ever owned it. And then this might have been the first time I watched it all the way in full. I might have gone back for, like, clips here or there, but first time in full in many years, for sure.
Okay. So my history with this movie is I have actually never seen it before, although I was acutely aware of it because of television commercials. I feel like there must have been, like, a lot of marketing around this movie, kind of like, Neil, you were kind of saying. So my main interaction with this movie is that I saw the commercials sometime as a child and then had a reoccurring nightmare that these toys were chasing me on a golf course. I don't know why it was a golf course. I think it's because golf courses are generally very flat and like lend themselves well to like there's not a lot of shrubbery and like there's like long sight lines and things like that. But I distinctly remember having reoccurring dreams about the enemies, like the commandos in this movie, like chasing me down a fucking golf course. So I don't know what that says about me or about this movie, but that is my only previous experience with this movie.
That's so funny.
So
you're just making me think of Donnie Darko, dude, when he wakes up on the golf course. Like, that sounds like a dream he's having.
Oh God. Yeah, please, Gideon, please never compare me to anything that has to do with Donnie Darko ever, ever again. Oh man. Okay. Where do we start with this movie? Really, the overall plot is so ridiculous, but it's pretty simple. It's like these guys are trying to make the hot new toy. First of all, their company gets acquired by Dennis Leary. So Jay Bohr and Tobias, they're like Tobias Funke. They get they're like toy inventors, and they decide, this guy that just acquired our company also owns like a bunch of like military chip manufacturing. So they start sticking like supercomputer military chips inside their toy, inside their soldiers, and lo and behold, the toys start like basically coming to life and having a mind of their own. And panic ensues for the kid who was unfortunate enough to be at the toy store when these things decide to start popping off. I was not surprised to learn that this movie was directed by Joe Dante, who is also the director of Gremlins, which is very, very similar in its premise. So where do you guys want to start from there? First, I mean, Neil and I were talking about it a little bit, but this movie has an absolutely all-star cast. I mean, there's like 10 or 15 people you would know by name that are either in or have voices in this movie.
Yep.
Including Tommy Lee Jones, Frank Langella is Archer, Christy, what's her name?
Christy Fimple?
Kirsten Dunst is who you're talking about. Kirsten Dunst is in this. Christina Ricci is the scary Barbie dolls, along with Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yep.
And there's a bunch of other ones, Neil, like Ernest Borgnine and those guys. Who else?
Yeah, so a lot of the toys are... George Kennedy, who's like a famous supporting actor, and like Cool Hand Luke and all kinds of stuff. Ernest Borgnine, Michael McKean, who plays Chuck in Better Call Saul, but he's done a lot of great stuff as well. And freaking Jim Brown, who's just been in so many. He was in Mars Attacks, Running Man, Dirty Dozen.
Mm-hmm.
Like the voice cast for this movie is like amazing. And then you've got like Robert Picardo from Star Trek, and Dick Miller. Every movie is made better by having Dick Miller in it.
I think actually like a lot of the guys from the Dirty Dozen are in this movie, right?
That's very possible.
Ernest Borgnine. You said Jim Brown.
Yep.
Clint Walker, George Kennedy. So there's at least four of them. So I think that's
I bet that's intentional, because I think Joe Dante originally wanted the cast of Rambo to be
that makes sense.
The Commando Elite.
Well, and I've actually never seen Spinal Tap, but the voices of the aliens, like the good toys, are the cast of Spinal Tap.
That's so sick.
Gideon, have you seen Spinal Tap?
No, I want to. I definitely want to. Probably love it. It's in the Criterion Collection.
Well, we might just have to get to that. So
I think it's getting a sequel.
Really?
Oh, damn. Shit.
Okay.
I could be crazy, but I thought I saw something about it getting a sequel soon.
Mm-hmm. So how about we start with, as we always do, with kind of giving our 10,000 foot thoughts on kind of where we're at with the movie. I'll go first. So I really liked Small Soldiers overall. Like, I thought it was a perfect, like, fun snacks and watching a movie kind of deal. It is very similar to Gremlins. It is kind of similar to Toy Story in some ways. You know what movie this actually reminded me of in the opening scene when it was just the commercial for Globotech? Is it reminded me a lot of RoboCop. Did you guys get any of that with like the in-universe commercials and things like that?
Yeah, I like think... a little dystopian, little like corporate
yeah,
running everything.
Like when the guy was like, well, pretty soon every corporate, oh, you know, there was just going to be one big corporation that owns everything. I was like, yes. Barreling toward this beautiful dystopian future. Okay. And yes. So I liked it. I think this movie is probably 20 to 30 minutes too long. I think the last action scene goes on way longer than it should. I think it's almost 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I would say that this movie could have easily been like 90 minutes, and I think it would have been stronger for it. Like when I thought we were like starting to wrap it up when we were like fighting the, like when they were running away from the toys on the moped toward the end of the movie, like toward the warehouse, I was like, oh, they're going to have the final set piece here in the warehouse.
Right.
And then they went back to the house and there was like another 20 or 30 minutes of the movie. And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, here we go. but before that, I was really enjoying it. And I think the adults in this movie are all super funny. Shout out to Phil Hartman, who I think is like hysterical in everything. But like, especially in this movie, I think Phil Hartman is so good.
I think this is also his last role.
RIP, Phil.
I think he was killed like during production.
Jesus Christ.
That's fucking horrible.
That's terrible.
And he's so there is nobody on this earth that's better at playing an annoying neighbor than Phil Hartman. Like, especially this and Jingle All the Way.
Yeah. Well, even the connection with Jingle All the Way and like him being in both these movies and both having like a really cool toy that was also like a toy you could buy, but it's like a key thing in the movie, like getting Turbo Man or getting a Chip Hazard or Archer or something. Awesome.
Grace was making fun of me during the scene where Phil's like, okay, honey, sit right here, and then I'm gonna turn the speakers up and tell me it's gonna sound in Dolby Stereo, it's gonna sound awesome. And like the wife is rolling her eyes and Grace is like, this is my life every day.
Literally. I Alyssa and I, she was laughing at me. I was like, yeah, here's me with my fucking hyper fixation on 4K Blu-rays. my 4K steelbooks. my OLED TV, all the fucking brightness is, the subtitles are blinding me. I need to tweak it for fucking 45 minutes so we don't even watch the movie.
That
part is just so funny. Like, so.
And getting listen, women just cannot understand the kino of adjusting a TV to its full potential. Like, it's just. They don't understand our special male autism.
They aren't plagued by it.
is it a gift or is it a curse? I'll let you guys be the judge out there.
I'm gonna say 70-30.
I'll you know what, don't elaborate further. I don't want to know which one is which. Do you guys know what scene in this movie caused it to get a PG-13? Off the top of your heads.
Is it the dude getting his pants on fire?
No. You got a guess, Neil.
Is it the like tearing Nick Nitro apart and then using him to make the Barbie doll soldiers?
No, but that was disturbing. That part was awesome. That was like the best scene in the movie when they were like Frankensteining all the Barbies into warriors.
That was the shit that gave me nightmares as a kid. I was like,
that's another one of those scenes that's like burned into my brain.
So can I ask a question about that? So they're like, oh, you know, these are our reinforcements, Folger. And then they rip the chip out of Nick Nitro, but they don't have enough chips to power all those Barbies.
Right.
So how are they powering all the different Barbies?
They put it in like the tennis racket thing, mm-hmm. and then the electricity spreads the knowledge into other shit. I'm assuming some bullshit like that.
Now where the Barbies got batteries? don't think too hard about it. It's a children's movie.
Also, Alyssa pointed out, she's like, they got bikinis on. Like, when those Barbies, when they don't have clothes on, they're just naked. You know, it's like, did they paint the camo outfits on them? Like,
that's true. That's a good point too. Anyway, the scene in this movie that caused the PG-13 is actually when the boys flip the sleeping pills into the woman's drink.
Oh, wow.
That, like, which seems like odd to me. I mean, that seems like pretty tame, especially it's like, you know, sleeping pills. It's not like anything crazy, but like they slipped her fucking PCP and she like goes crazy and like
And it's funny too, because she even talks about like, are you on tar, like smack, or she's listening to like all these different drugs.
Right. There are some dark one-liners in the scene where like they're fighting the Barbies for the first time. Kirsten Dunst has like a stick and they keep calling it a baton. And one of the Barbies screams, "She's on a baton death march."
Right.
What? Are you allowed to do that?
Neil, can you tell me what a baton death march is? I know it's like a World War II thing.
Yeah. So a bunch of Brits got captured by the Japanese, and they had to march to Bataan from where they were captured, and that meant marching through like alligator swamps and like,
oh shit.
You know, like thousands of British soldiers got eaten by alligators, basically.
Jesus Christ. Like,
crocodiles.
Damn.
That's fucked.
Yeah, well. Yeah, that is kind of dark for a kids' movie, for sure. And there's, like, a lot of dark shit with, like, you know, they're ripping the dead toy's face off. And
well,
the guy's like, I'm going to puke. I thought that was funny.
Even the, I mean, it was a, like, throwaway joke line, but it was so funny. Like, when right after Phil Hartman's autism moment with his home theater setup, he's like, I think World War II is my favorite war. And his wife is like, honey. Like, just like fall asleep.
That's awesome. This, so good. Again, this is like what a real, well, in my experience, a real relationship. Metal Gear Solid 3, I find to be the best in the series. And Gracie's just like, anyway. Okay, so sorry, we're getting sidetracked. So overall, I thought it was good. I think it's a little too long, and I think the needle drops in this movie are stupid as hell, and they should have really toned in the needle drops a little bit more, because the Led Zeppelin one in particular, I was like, all right, we gotta calm down with this. Otherwise, you know, it was perfectly fine. Like, I think, like, watching this with my kids would be super fun.
Oh, yeah.
Like, as long as they're like not the age where they're going to be traumatized permanently, but like, I think this would be like a super fun family movie to like watch with your kids. That's just a little bit on the edge of you know where you're able to push their content. I think that'd be like really fun. Like, oh, we'll watch Small Soldiers, but don't tell your mom. Like that kind of a movie. Mm-hmm. So, Neil, what do you think overall?
You know, I really enjoyed revisiting this personally. I think, like you said, like, the, you know, I enjoyed it as a kid enough that I, you know, remember it fondly, and then rewatching it, like, you know, with you know, further education, like knowing what some of those one-liners mean, just listening to Tommy Lee Jones just like riffing like every single Americanism, like just mashing them all up together. I just enjoyed the heck out of it. It was just so fulfilling, almost. Like, that's not quite the right word, but it was
like a pick me up movie.
Yeah, it was just like a little warm glow, just like the like, it's like baby's first cynical humor.
Yeah. Also, for me, it was kind of like a first horror movie almost too. Like, I didn't realize. So I feel like there's some pretty freaky moments in this movie.
Yeah, no, like, the level of, like, toy, like it's one thing for like the humans to be smashing the toys apart, but I didn't remember like the toys drawing blood from humans.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, Chip just stabbed him with like an actual knife and like it punched through his rubber glove. I saw blood there. Mm-hmm. Or he's limping because they shot those little corn on the cob holding things into his leg. Or the automatic nail gun just blowing through the wind. I was like, oh my, I don't remember this.
Yeah.
Did I repress it?
Yeah, it does go a little further than you might think it will. But I would say the same thing was true of Gremlins as well. Like,
yeah, they're definitely like thematic cousins.
Mm-hmm. Like Gremlins famously like was part of the reason PG-13 got introduced, because it starts off as like a kid's movie and then the mom is like stabbing them with like a big kitchen knife and shoving them in microwaves and just like letting it rip. So
holy shit, dude.
Yeah. Have you seen Gremlins, Gideon?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's so good. It's a great Christmas movie.
I should totally watch it. If I like this, I don't see why I'd like that.
If you like this, I think Gremlins is a lot better than Small Soldiers, personally. And it has Phoebe Cates. Okay. One of my time favorite girls. So, I don't know. It's they're both good, but Gremlins, I think, is a little bit better. But yeah. So Neil, it's safe to say you really enjoyed it then.
Yeah, I'm glad I picked it. I was very happy to revisit this. Okay.
You're right now. You're the meme of Obama giving himself the gold medal.
Oh, it's so funny.
How about you, Gid?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in a similar boat with Neil. I think it holds up surprisingly well. Definitely gives me that similar warm glow. It's got that like 90s glow, and you know, like I'm always talking about, like late 90s, early 2000s shit that I just like live for. That just makes you feel all warm and fuzzy inside. And I love, like, there's a lot I like about it. Like, I love all the practical effects and like how the Commando Elite almost make like a Voltron death machine on wheels that all like links up. Yeah, Tommy Lee Jones,
it's almost Mad Max-esque.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I like most of the designs with everybody. Some of them are pretty creepy and gross or weird, but like they give like Mortal Kombat vibes, honestly, like some of these characters, especially some of the Gorgonites, like Slam Fist. I think it's got some great humor. I think the main boy and Kirsten Dunst are like the worst characters in the whole movie, honestly.
Who are
the little boy? What Alan? Yeah, Alan.
Yeah, he sucks.
Shut up now, or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
and Kirsten Dunst is like whatever. Like she's fine, but
she listens to Rush though, dude.
Yeah, and Led Zeppelin. But dude, the dad, Alan's dad, was like, he kept making me laugh, and I was like, where have I seen him? Like,
he's, like, Transformers. Oh,
he's the dad in Transformers. I'm like, wow, yeah. He plays that like ticked off dad like so well, and I just think he's like Phil Hartman is excellent, but I think they play off each other really well. Mm-hmm. And I love how like he's getting all stressed and like maybe he had like a heart attack or something. His wife's like nervous. She's like, remember, maintain the stress or whatever. She's like always trying to calm him down. And then it just makes me laugh with a lot of things like that. Or like he runs, it sounds like a failing, boring ass toy shop with like fucking blocks of wood and ball on a string with the cup.
Yeah.
And fucking hoop and a stick. All kinds of boring shit. And
okay, that Viking ship,
that's like cool,
a peak toy.
Yeah, ammo. Yeah, I feel like he has some hidden gems in there, but it was funny, and it was funny even hearing him say like anti-war. I'm like, what about like veterans and stuff that like really like model kits, dude? Like, I don't know.
And also, like, how does that connect to his own anger issues, right? Like, you're starting to form a story here of like, you know, maybe this guy like killed 13 dudes in Vietnam. He came back and he was fucked up, so he made this like anti-war toy store, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I gotta talk about like Kirsten Dunst's character, Kirsty or whatever, Christy. And it's funny how, like, they're always talking about how Alan is, like, he was a pyro or something, and he, like, got kicked out of his schools because he, well, number one, he called in a fucking bomb threat, which is, they're just very casual about that. And it's like, oh, haha. It's like, that's actually really serious.
It was the 90s. It wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah, right. It wasn't really happening. Now it's, you know, there's a lot happening.
Right.
And but it's like she was almost having a little too much fun in like a psychopath way when they started bashing the Barbies and shit. And then you see her come out on the lawnmower and she's like laughing. I'm like, okay. I'm like, you're kind of like scaring me a little. Yeah. Like, so that was something funny that I noticed this go around.
We commented the same thing. Like, we were Grace and I were watching it and we were like, okay, we were putting the story together. Like, her dad is this like nerdy AV guy. Like, the dad probably turned the daughter on to Rush and Led Zeppelin. So this dad is essentially me. And Grace is like, this is what your daughter's going to be like. And then she like comes out and starts swinging on the Barbies and she's like laughing maniacally on the lawnmower. And I was like, I don't know if I'm okay with this anymore. Like, this was kind of a wholesome fantasy at first. And now I think that my daughter's going to be a total fucking psycho.
You're just going to
and also be very like inappropriately flirty, but like, I already have a boyfriend, but
yeah.
But you showed me your cool Viking war toy, so I guess I can dump my cool motorcycle boyfriend for this fucking weird pyro kid.
I was wondering, like, how old are they supposed to be?
Yeah.
Because her boyfriend is, like, we're playing against the JV. So is he a freshman in high school and dating a, like, middle schooler? Like,
is she 14 to 16 is what Google AI says.
Okay.
Alan is 15. Looks like a 12-year-old, bro.
Yeah, Alan looks pretty young.
Yeah, he's definitely he's definitely like losing the like girls mature faster than boys fight right now.
Alan, I don't know, dude. Like, I agree that Alan kind of sucks and
kind of a jabroni.
Yeah, you know, Tom and I used to have a discussion about like what. This is like a very neo-coded discussion about like what are the movies where the bad guys should have won, and I feel like I was kind of rooting for the older boyfriend in this movie. I was like, this guy's way better than fucking Alan. So, we used to always say that about the other band in School of Rock that isn't the kids. Like, Tom was like, that band is way better. They should have won.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah, Alan kind of sucks, but and Kirsten Dunst is like batshit insane in this movie. Yeah. But it's all part of the fun. So overall, Giddy, you had a pretty good time.
Yeah, definitely. I do have a question about this quote. I figure you guys probably know. So Chip Hazard, I think, says it a couple times. He says, "Are you scared? We're all scared. You'd have to be crazy not to be scared." Is he like referencing some famous war film or something? Like, do you guys know?
I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, I'm gonna guess that it might be a Heart of Darkness / Apocalypse Now reference.
That was my guess as well. It seems that this is original dialogue to the movie. But based on Chip Hazard always quoting like, you know, Americanisms, I thought it was. I was with you guys where. When he said that, I thought it was for sure from like Apocalypse Now or The Deer Hunter or something. And it seems like it's original to this movie.
There's another point where one of the commando elite is like, "All quiet on the Western front yard" or whatever. It's like, okay.
that made me laugh. I won't lie. That little bit got a good chuckle out of me.
One more quote that really made me laugh. Is after they see the fucking torture tape from the commando elite and she's like, "Help me, you're my only hope." The guy that Chuck from Better Call Saul plays, the spinny tornado guy, Insaniac or whatever, he's like, "What else is on?"
Oh, yeah. So good. Insaniac was a cool character. I would have loved to have an Insaniac toy.
Mm.
So, I wonder if they make toys of the small soldiers. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, so that was the thing, is I remember having some of these toys as a kid.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I feel like corporate, like the end line by Dennis Leary was like, would have made a hell of a commercial.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. There was some kind of disconnect between corporate and the people who made this. But I remember having the eyeball monster in particular. Whoa. And he had suction cup feet, and I would leave him like in various places to scare my mom.
That's awesome, dude.
That is that's very wholesome. That's very cozy. Sort of related. Go ahead, Gideon. Then I've got a story about Levi Wright, if you remember him.
Oh yeah. I feel like I remember seeing like Archer and maybe Chip Hazard in person before, but it's either that or like a very vivid dream that never happened. Like, you know, so I'm not totally sure. We had the same dream, dude. But it's kind of funny. They say they're like $80, and I'm looking at one on Whatnot right now. It's the blonde soldier dude. Brick Bazooka is $85.
Well, that's because it's. So, like, I wonder. So, this movie came out in 1998. I'm going to go ahead and punch it into the inflation calculator. So, the kid said it was $80, and it's like 1998 money.
Yeah, 98.
Okay, so let's see here. Let's just call it flat 80. We'll say 98. Yeah, that'd have been a $159 toy soldier, which I guess makes a little bit more sense when you talk about having the military technology.
Yeah.
In there, but that also kind of seems inexpensive for a microprocessor that can learn like it's a Terminator. So I don't know. I think you're getting a lot of bang for your toy dollar in this particular case. Well, what else do we want to talk about small soldiers?
One thing I'm going to say in line with my usual, you know, the bad guy did nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. I think the movie wants to like frame Dennis Leary as like the bad guy, and yes, he's like kind of a merchant of death, like arms dealer, but the opening bit where he's like, I'm sick of these commercials where they, you know, show the toys doing all these things and then you can't actually do that. Like, I was like, yes, no, I'm with you. I'm with you, Dennis Leary. You're the hero we need.
That's Dennis awesome. Leary was like my favorite part of this movie.
No, he's fantastic. Like he's only in like three scenes, but he shines in every one of them.
For sure. He's just so skeevy and like slimy and slick. Yeah. And I just love his character in this. Mm-hmm. That Dennis Leary and Phil Hartman were absolutely the highlights of this movie for me. I don't know about you guys. Mm-hmm. Was there a particular performance that stood out?
I mean, at Absolute Cinema, the way they fucking introduce Chip Hazard, bro. And every time that guitar is bam, 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 I get laughing. It's so good. I don't know. And I really liked, is it David Cross, right, Tobias?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was really, really enjoying his performance on this.
Yeah, David Cross is good in basically everything he's ever been in, you know?
One thing I do want to shout out is like, the CGI generally looks pretty good for the time. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say.
I agree.
Like a little clunky at times, but like, I think compared to a lot of movies that came before and like even after, I think this looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. Well, and I think they did a good job of using CGI where they had to use CGI, but you can tell that there was like a lot of stop motion kind of, the graphics in this actually reminded me a lot of Team America.
That's so funny.
They used a lot of the actual stop motion action figures and a lot of practical effects, and they didn't overdo it with the CG stuff. I mean, most of the things that the toy soldiers are doing are doable with like little tiny animatronics and things like this. So Well, let's see here. Let me pull up the Wikipedia page for Small Soldiers and see if we can. Oh man, Tommy Lee Jones, one of the great actors of all time in this.
So good.
I mean, he has a great voice for this, and I wish his dialogue wasn't all like platitudes about like just flat Americanism and stuff like that, because like Tommy Lee Jones is such a great actor. But let's see, this movie only has a 51% of Rotten Tomatoes. I think it's maybe a little better than that.
I will say that a lot of Tommy Lee Jones' stuff definitely sounds like he was in the studio and like didn't have context for the script, so he's literally just like doing like recorded voice lines for an action figure, basically. I don't know if that's intentional or if it was like, oh no, this is just kind of how it worked out. just the way he delivers some of them. But I think a great casting choice all the same.
Yeah, I think the thing that really makes this movie stand out, other than beyond other dumber movies, is just the outstanding cast. A lot of who were not like huge names at the time, but like kind of a lot of these people ended up becoming bigger names, or they're recognizable kind of from other stuff. Neil, what else is Dick Miller in?
He's in Gremlins.
Right.
He is like a professional bit part actor. I don't know that he's ever like led a movie apart from like stuff that's like that used to air on like public access.
Right.
There's a movie that maybe we should watch for like a film history thing called Bucket of Blood, where he's the lead, but he's look at his IMDb page and he'll have like 3,000 credits to his
name. I see. Okay, so he's like the white James Hong.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay. And the question is, Dick Miller still alive? No, he died in 2019. Damn. That's sad. Wow. Well, if you guys don't have anything else, we really want to crack open with Small Soldiers. I mean, speak now or forever hold your peace. I'll give you your 5-minute warning. We're coming up on an hour.
This is the movie that introduced the concept of psychological warfare to me as a kid. So, because I was like, why are they playing this song? And why is the mom like excited? And they obviously say psychological warfare. I'm like, what is that? And I'm like asking my dad about it. He's explaining it. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what is this? I love how much practical effects there is in it with all the action scenes and stuff like that. I think that is super fun. And I love seeing the shots of the cat playing with the toys. I like that a lot.
Neil, anything else from you?
No, I'm just going to say I was really glad to revisit this. It's a lot more clever than I remembered it being, and I'm gonna give myself a pat on the back. I think this was overall a winner.
Yeah, Grace and I certainly had a great time
I agree
watching it, and after we had kind of a stinker streak going on there for a little bit, so it's been good to have some what do the Uruk-hai say in two towers?
Looks like meat's back on the menu.
Meat's back on the menu, boys. Man, I love that line. We only had the Two Towers on DVD. We didn't have either of the other movies, so I've seen like the opening hour of Two Towers like a million times.
That's so funny.
I don't know. Like, we also only had The Empire Strikes Back on VHS. We did not have New Hope or Return of the Jedi.
That is so
funny. So I think like, you know, Mark Strazek was going down to the dollar store and just picking out the middle section of every trilogy and just saying, it's good enough. And that was the end of that.
That's so fucking funny.
Like, I don't know. My dad is like very, very generous in some ways and very cheap in other ways. Like, I don't remember ever having a new computer game as a kid. My dad would always just go to the CNET homepage and download demos of new games, and then we would just play the demos over and over again. It was a strange time. Funny. So, what are we thinking for scores, guys? Me, Gideon, and then Neil, since he was the one who picked the movie. I'm going to go ahead and give it a 3, in that I liked it overall. I think it has a few problems, but I had a super fun time watching it. I think the length hurts it. I think the needle drops are a little awkward. I think it is essentially Gremlins, right? Like, with a little bit of a twist on it. But I think that the cast really elevates it, and there's a couple of like the human performances that are really funny to me, particularly Phil Hartman. So I'm gonna give it a 3. If we were still giving halves, I'd probably say 3.4. But I have a hard time giving it a 4 when I just gave Jaws a 4. So that's kind of where I'm at with my ranking on this one. How about you, Gid?
Yeah, I'm kind of torn between a 3 and a 4. I feel like, for myself, I would give it a light 4. It's very iconic. It's super fun to revisit. I think it holds up really well. It gets plenty of nostalgia points for me. Just a fun movie that you really don't get like this at all anymore. I would kind of be super curious if they could revisit this as like an R-rated horror movie, maybe a sequel or something. I doubt anything like that will ever happen.
A sequel in development, like a spiritual successor remake in development called Toypocalypse at one point.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I was going to say, why didn't we compare it to Chucky at all?
Yeah, honestly.
I have never seen
Chucky. I've never seen him. I was always too afraid. I would watch it now. But I'll give it a light 4 for now. I really like it. I think it's great. I think it's fun. I love all the 90s stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
Just like lots of laughs, lots of good action. It almost gets a 4 just from that fucking home entertainment scene alone for me. I would agree. I think, I don't like the two main, Kirsten Dunst and Alan, whatever. I don't really care for their characters as much as everybody else. I do agree it's a bit too long, and they could have trimmed it down. I do like the needle drops a lot. Like when they play that war song, when they bust out of the garage. That shit's that's one of my favorite parts. That's it for me.
All right, Neil, the man of the hour, how about you?
Yeah, I think it's going to be 3s across the board. Like the strongest possible 3 for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are better movies out there. I think Gremlins is better than this, and I think the comparison is apt. But I think this will definitely be something I wonder if when I ever have kids, like if this will just be like too dated for them. Like, Daddy, what's that giant thing in the backyard this guy's trying to get TV channels with? But
that's Netflix, son.
Yeah, I was just like, just a super charming, very fun movie that's really elevated by some really strong performances by the supporting cast.
Yeah, so I think we're all kind of in agreement, kind of like not a bad movie, but just a fun, lighthearted romp. I think this is a good episode, and I think it was good. This is a good pick. It was a good sort of end of the summer, early autumn kind of movie. You know what I was thinking about when I was watching this is I can't remember the last time I saw a movie that took place in like a quote unquote American neighborhood. You know what I mean? Like, whatever happened to movies where, like, it just takes place in small-town America and everything is, like, fine? Like, yeah. I mean, like, I know that, like, the toys are going apeshit and everything, but I mean, like, oh, the dad owns the toy store and he goes down the street and they have this nice house on this nice street and everything's just kind of nice. And you're just kind of like, damn, I kind of want to live in this world. Like, which is weird because it's weird to say because like I look out my window and that is the world that I ostensibly live in, right? I live like on a street that looks somewhat like that in a suburb outside of a major city. But like, I don't know. There's something about like, I think from 1950 to even the late 90s, it was okay to set a movie in this kind of an environment, like a suburban sprawl, and that doesn't really happen too much. Do you guys ever think about that? Like, I just had, no. It's been a while since I've seen a movie like that.
I think about that all the time. I love that. I feel like that's almost like a big draw for this movie and movies like it, or just like in that Y2K era. I really like is that kind of vibe.
Any comment, Neil?
Yeah, I think we've definitely sort of lost like the idea of like suburbia being the way it's presented here. I don't know if it's necessarily a bad thing, but there's definitely something to that for sure.
All right, boys. Well, is it my turn to pick for next week?
Yep.
I think so.
How would we feel about doing Spinal Tap?
I'm down.
I'd give it a shot. Yeah.
Okay. Because I've never seen it.
Okay. What about you, Neil?
I remember being shown some like clips in middle and high school, but definitely haven't watched it all the way through.
Okay, nice. Yeah,
yeah. It's like one of those classics that I just haven't seen, and it'd be fun just to watch something funny. It would be good. And when we were talking about it, I was like, you know what, I should just. Because we mentioned a lot of movies, but like I didn't want to be like, let's do The Deer Hunter, because I did Lawrence of Arabia like 3 weeks ago. So
yeah.
So I feel like I've kind of like shot my shot on long dramatic movies. So let's maybe do Spinal Tap, and it'll go good with all the gigs I've been doing lately, and we'll see where that takes us. So yeah, I'll see you guys next week.
Minutes.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Man, maybe I should get to pick two movies. Hot damn. All right. Well, that'll be an easy breezy one for you guys. So play some games between now and then. We can talk about those next week, too.
Sounds good.
All right, boys. I'll see you cats on the flippity floppity.
All right. Have a good one, boys. Later.
See you, boys.